Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 441st edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is part two of our message on we can go to heaven when we die, but only with Jesus. Remember, we're focusing out of Romans on this one, and it's part two of what I labeled last week an extremely controversial message concerning what's called in theology or religion, the exclusivity of the gospel. Now, most people think if they're simply good enough or they've done more good than bad, then they're going to go to heaven when they die. But the truth is there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And I know this is controversial, and I know it's an offense. It's the offense of the gospel because people get upset with this truth. And that's because it's not what they want to hear. Now, at the very core of this topic, folks, is what we can simply call our eternal destiny. It's one of life's four most crucial questions that you'll ever ask yourselves and seek an answer for. And those four questions are quickly in review, and we've spent the last several weeks going over these. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What's right and wrong? And where do I go when I die? Now, like I said last week, most people, regardless of their religious orientation, think they go to heaven, a heaven that's defined by the Bible when they die. Even though heaven isn't part of a lot of their belief systems in their quote-unquote religion. Now, as we begin to realize, and I hope this was starting to come home to you last week in the first of this two-part message, the biblical answer to this question of our eternal destiny is a very troubling answer, because people have this mindset of what heaven is from the Bible, yet they reject what the Bible says one must do to be saved or to eventually get to heaven. And furthermore, you have to think about heaven like this. Heaven is a byproduct of our salvation. Jesus said, if we believe, we shall have eternal life, and that eternal life is now. Heaven is where we go later. But the big thing is that we're at peace with God through Jesus Christ. We're covered by the blood of the Lamb. We're saved. We're set free from the bondage of sin, and we're in the process of being sanctified and ultimately glorified because of this incredible gift of the gospel. So the Bible says that the only way to this biblical heaven is through Jesus Christ. And if this offends people, well, so be it, but that's the truth, folks. So this offense causes a lot of people to say, how can the God of the Bible be both righteous and just if this is the case? In other words, is it fair for God to let a person die and then go to hell when they've never even had a chance to hear the name of Jesus? Well, last week we looked at two of four truths that are in this passage out of Romans concerning this question and this reality of the exclusivity of the gospel. First, we looked at what I labeled the revelation factor. And that's the truth that everyone on this earth, every man, woman, and child at the age of accountability are given some measure of light. And then we looked at what the refusal factor, that when that light's rejected, darkness comes. So I'd like to pick up on that today with the last two truths concerning the exclusivity of the gospel. And we'll call those two more words that begin with R. So if you're taking notes, okay, we had the revelation factor, okay, and then we had the refusal factor, and then this week we're going to look at the reception and reckoning factors. Now remember, we're dealing with a fleshly knee-jerk reaction to this quote-unquote offense of the gospel, as St. Paul puts it. You know, we're wrangling with the justice and righteousness of our most high and holy God here, and the exclusivity of the message or the good news he's given us regarding salvation. Now, it all boils down to understanding this process of salvation, folks, and this process of awakening by the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Now, first, I know this all might sound a bit confusing, so I'm pleading with you to listen carefully all the way through this message. Go back and listen to the other one if you're having trouble. Take out some paper, take some notes, and listen to this. Take the notes, outline it, do what you need to do until you understand. And then, first and foremost, before you do any of this, ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. And he will, folks. He'll open your eyes to the reality of these truths. And in the end, I promise you, if you do this, it'll all make sense. So here's that third truth, the reception factor. Remember, last week we covered the first truth, which is the revelation factor, and then the second truth, which is the refusal factor. And now today we're going to move on with the reception factor. Now, I know I'm repeating myself, but it's important to understand these four truths with regard to the exclusivity of the Bible and why God can be both just and righteous. And folks, you don't want him to be fair, because in all fairness, he doesn't owe us anything. You want him to be merciful and gracious, but he must also be just and righteous. So last week we learned straight out of the Bible, that very same Bible that gives most people their understanding of this place called heaven, that all men are given some measure of light. And that's the revelation factor. So I don't care where you're at in the world, okay? You've been given some measure of light. And then secondly, we looked at this truth of the exclusivity of the gospel known as the refusal factor, or the truth that when light has been refused, darkness increases. The Bible says their foolish heart was dark in Romans 1:21. And thirdly, there's this truth I'm going to call the reception factor. And that's when light is responded to or light is obeyed, just like a plant moving towards that light, the light increases. It gets out of the underbrush. It gets into the bright day sun, you know, and then what happens is it grows exponentially. In fact, right now you might be thinking, this is really hard to understand. There's some kind of flaw in your thinking, Broken. And that's why I'm going through this and repeating myself. And I'm trying to share this with you the best way I can. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, just give me the words to say in a way that they're understood by the people listening. That's because what I'm telling you is very controversial. That no one can get to heaven apart from Jesus. Neither this witness of creation nor the witness of consciousness even mentions Jesus. So you may be thinking, okay, so someone over in Africa has some light, but still not enough to save them, Broken. I'm going to tell you something. You'd be absolutely right. And that's because these witnesses, creation and conscience, only tell us about the fact of God. And the point here is that if someone's not even interested in the fact of God, then they're certainly not going to be interested in the way to God, which is only through Jesus. So you see, folks, God's under no obligation to show any of us the way back to him if we're not even interested in the fact that he exists. In other words, those of you who aren't thankful and then have become vain in your imaginations are having your foolish hearts darkened. Right now, you may be listening to me and scoffing and saying, oh, what a jerk. And that's the reception factor. And the truth is that when that light is responded to, when that light's obeyed, that light increases. But when that light's refused, darkness increases. So light obey increases light. Light rejected increases darkness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For it is in the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So here's this righteousness of God. And yes, praise the Lord, God is righteous. So the righteousness of God is revealed. How? From faith, little F-A-I-T-H, that carnal light bulb, tap water faith, to F period. Capital F-A-I-T-H with periods, forsaking all, I trust him, the faith of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And that's the revelation factor. So God gives us truth. And if we believe that truth, that he exists, then God gives us more truth. This making sense? And the Bible says, unto everyone who hath been given, that's Matthew 25, 29, so the more we obey the light, the more light we get. Picture a man, okay? And God speaks to that man through creation and conscience, and he says to this being, to this prime mover, to this force, whatever you want to call it, at this point in the man's walk of faith, he just says, God, I believe that you exist. I want to know you. I need to know you. And that's faith. And then he goes from his little measure of faith to the big measure of the faith of Jesus Christ as God gives him more light. And then he says, I believe that. And then he goes on to even more faith. So he continues stepping into that light until he comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How? Through the very saving faith of Jesus Christ. Not his faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. Pistos Christos. All these modern translations have that wrong. I'm sorry, I'm not bashing modern translations, but quite simply, they say faith in Jesus. Well, your faith in Jesus needs to be that gift from God, the faith of Jesus. Otherwise, you're not going to have enough faith to be saved. So the point here is that when a man's ready to receive the gospel, God's going to get that gospel to him. God has to wreck some missionary's airplane and have him parachute out in the wrong place to speak to that one individual that's crying out to God. And folks, I believe that with all my heart. There's story after story after story in the Bible and throughout history where this has happened. You know, there's never been a man, a woman, or a child who's lived on the face of this earth who died without some opportunity to have received Jesus Christ, if they responded to and obeyed that little measure of light that God gave each and every one of us. But the truth is, there's not enough light to save them from themselves. However, I'm telling you, there's enough light to damn them. So you need more than just light to get saved. Amen? Now, had they lived up to that little bit of light they had, they would have received more light. The Bible says, in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, there's illustrations of this, like I said, all through history and in the Bible. Let's just look at a couple examples out of the Bible. And you could read all kinds of accounts of this happening with missionaries and soldiers and various anthropologists that went into the jungle to study some race. And they happened to share their faith. And this person said, I've been looking for Jesus all along. I didn't know his name. So first off, there's that Ethiopian over in Acts chapter 8. Remember, he went to Jerusalem, the religious city, the most religious city on the entire face of the earth. And why did he go there? To worship. And he wanted to worship in spirit and in truth. So he came all the way from Ethiopia in northern Africa. In a day and age when all they had to travel with were chariots. They didn't have air-conditioned cars, let alone airplanes or boats or anything like that that could take them there in comfort. So this guy was thirsty for God. That's my point. He traveled all the way to Jerusalem. But I'll tell you what, it was a dry city. The wells were dry. So they may have had truth, but they had no spirit. So he's headed home, still thirsty, as he's reading the prophet Isaiah, trying and trying to understand it. But he had no understanding. So picture this eunuch there on his chariot, living up to the small measure of light that God had given him. When God reaches down into Samaria, taps a shoulder of a preacher named Philip, who's in the middle of a big revival, remember this, and sends him out into the middle of the desert, and he goes. And I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. It's God. He won't let one man who needs to be saved not have the opportunity to be saved. So there's that Ethiopian eunuch who got saved in the most unlikely of circumstances, okay? As God supernaturally brings a missionary to him in the middle of the desert to tell him how to be saved. Just read about it in Acts chapter 8. We don't have time to do that today. And then you can see a similar process with another Gentile in Acts chapter 10 named Cornelius. Okay, he was an army officer in the Roman army. He had a hunger to know God. And how do we know that? Because of the story that transpires there in Acts chapter 10. Now, we don't know all the details, but maybe he looked up into the heavens, okay? And he saw these stars just covering the firmament, okay? One night while he's on patrol, I'm just trying to paint a picture here, okay? Maybe he said something like this, these stars just didn't happen. Dear God, whoever you are, you know, whatever you are, wherever you are, I want to know you. And God heard that cry. And he gave Cornelius a vision. And then he went over to Simon Peter, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, get over to Cornelius's and share the gospel. So God put the two together. Read about it for yourself. It's in Acts chapter 10. So when we obey that measure of light that we have, God will always give us more light. Now, for the next point that I want to make here within this this response factor, okay, is for those of you who are already saved, okay? Now, a lot of times I'll hear believers say, well, I don't really understand that in the Bible. And perhaps the reason you don't understand it is you haven't been living up to the light that God's already given you. And I'm telling you, this is a tried and proven truth in my life. The point is, why would God want to show you more in his word until you begin to obey what he's already given you? Remember, repent and trust, and then trust and obey. And I'll give you an example. Maybe you call yourself a believer, yet you've never had a believer's baptism. You know, the Bible teaches that once you're saved, you need to be baptized. Yet I hear so many people say, well, I was baptized as a child. Or, I've got a $100 hairdo. I'm not going to mess this thing up. I'd be embarrassed to be wet in front of all those people. And then you're reading the scriptures and you're wondering why you can't understand some passage. Well, perhaps that's why. So you pray to God, you know, and you say, God, show me what this means. And then God says, why should I show you what that means? You haven't obeyed what I've already showed you. I said, once you believe, get baptized. The Bible says, unto every man who hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. Matthew 25:29. It's right there. So what I'm trying to say here, when the light's obeyed, the light increases. So if you understand part of the Bible that you don't understand, start obeying the parts that you do understand, and you'll begin understanding those that you don't understand. Do you understand? In short, obey what God teaches you, and you're going to have all sorts of truths open to you, all sorts of things revealed to you, all through the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit as you walk into that light. So again, folks, this isn't a head problem. This is a heart problem. You know, one of the greatest promises in all the Bibles found in John chapter 7, verse 17, and I just love this. This is where the Pharisees were wondering about Jesus. And they were testing him, okay? They taunted him. They were actually picking on him. They were wondering to themselves, who is this Jesus Christ? And then Jesus said to them, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. You know, in John chapter 7, verses 16 and 17, Jesus challenged them and said this, if any man will do his will, that's his Father's, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. So what Jesus is saying right here to the Pharisees is that just do the will of God and then you'll know whether I'm some goofball, some crackpot, some peasant prophet or whatever, with some kind of messianic complex. You know, you got a lot of those types of people in mental wards all over the world right now. Or whether I've come from God and am who I say I am. So do you have this desire in your heart to do the will of God? If so, Jesus promises you that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But you got to repent and trust, and then trust and obey. You know, I share this story about a person that Pastor Rogers had the opportunity to lead to Christ. And this was way back in his early ministry days, back when he was on Merritt Island down in Florida. And that was real close to the Apollo space program there on the Atlantic coast of Florida. And one day, this big shot from NASA, he came in with his wife, and he wanted to talk to Adrian because his wife wanted to commit suicide. And Adrian agreed that he would meet with them, okay, but provided they both came, he'd counsel them, okay? Now, as Adrian started to counsel them, he started to realize that it wasn't a woman's problem. Yeah, sure, she tried to commit suicide, but he started to see that this NASA executive was a liar, a drunk. He cheated on this woman. He gambled, blasphemed God. And furthermore, he abused his wife. Bottom line, he was a rotten guy, you know? So in this process of counseling, Adrian started to realize that it wasn't her that he should be talking to, but this big shot from NASA. So the conversation started to shift. And he moved his attention over to the husband, and he said, sir, are you a Christian? And the man laughed at him, you know? And he said, I'm not a Christian, I'm an atheist. And Adrian replied right back to him, oh, an atheist. You know, an atheist is someone who says there's no God. In fact, he knows there's no God. Now, how do you know there's no God? And the man said, well, I just do. And then Adrian said, well, that's very, very interesting, because what you're saying when you say something like that is that you know all there is to know. So how much do you know? Do you know even half of everything there is to know? And the man said, well, of course not. That'd be foolish to claim that. And then Adrian said, but you said you know there's no God. So wouldn't you have to admit that there's a possibility that God might exist in the other half of knowledge that you don't know? Is that possible, sir? And the man said, okay, you got me there. I'm not an atheist. I'm an agnostic. Now, Adrian didn't go on and explain to the man that both in Latin and Greek, that word agnostic actually means ignoramus. He just kind of let that point slide, okay? But that's what agnostic means in both the Greek and Latin language. It means, I don't know, I'm ignorant. But Adrian did say, well, that's just a fancy word for doubter. So are you a doubter? And he said, oh, yes, I'm a very big one. And right away, without even taking a breath, you know what Adrian responded to him? He said, well, I don't care what size. I want to know what type. And the man said, what do you mean, what type? Well, Adrian explained, well, there are two kinds of doubters. There are honest doubters and dishonest doubters. So which kind of doubter are you? Then Adrian continued, you see, an honest doubter, they just don't know, but they want to know. And so they investigate. Yet a dishonest doubter doesn't want to know, because if he knows, if he finds God, okay, he's going to have to change. It's the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. He's not looking for it. Remember, Jesus said, and he's saying all this to this man, Jesus said, they hate the light, and they will not come to the light because their deeds are evil. John chapter 3, verse 20. So the man, him and Hod, and then Adrian finally butted in and said, sir, would you like to find out whether you're an honest doubter or a dishonest doubter? And the guy said, sure, I'd like to do that. So what Adrian did is he had him sign a statement that simply read this: God, I don't know whether you exist or not. I don't know whether you're in the Bible or not. In fact, I don't even know if that Bible is in fact your word or not. I don't know whether Jesus Christ is your son or not. I don't know what I know about this. And because I want to know, I'll make an honest investigation. And because it's an honest investigation, I'll follow the results of that investigation, whether they lead me to you or not, regardless of the cost of this decision. So Adrian had him review that statement. And he said, will you sign that statement? The man said, sure, I'll sign that. I want to be honest. So Adrian gave him an assignment. He said, okay, go home and read the Gospel of John, because that's the one book written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. It says it right there in the text, believing you might have life through his name. So the man said, but I don't believe. And Adrian said, well, that's okay. Just make an honest investigation. Say to God, God, I don't know whether this is your word or not, but if it is your word, show me that it's your word, and I'll make my mind up and obey you. But show me that this is your word. Speak to my heart. And the man said, okay, that's fair enough. Then a few weeks later, the man came back and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he got on his knees like a little child and wept his way into the arms of Jesus. Folks, this is a true story. And then many years later, Adrian said that he got a letter from this man who was now up in Bangor, Maine. He had a cassette tape ministry and was teaching the Bible. And here's what he wrote. Pastor Rogers, I want to thank you for spending time with a general in the devil's army. So here was a man who thought his problem all along was intellectual. All along, it was a matter of his will and a matter of his heart. The point I'm trying to make is that when a man surrenders his will to God's will, God will speak to him. Light obeyed increases light. That's that surrender, forsaking all. I trust him as you put your hands up in the air. So, folks, you got to live up to this light, and God will give you more light. So remember, truth number one is the revelation factor. Truth number two, the refusal factor. Truth number three, the reception factor. And then in conclusion here, wrapping this message up, truth number four is what I'll call the reckoning factor. So when God comes to judge us, what's he going to judge us on? How's he going to judge us? What's the standard? You think God's going to judge you on the sins you've committed? Well, of course not. No, God's going to judge you by the light that you've received and your response to the reception of that light. And that's made very clear in the Word of God. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 says, but after thy hardness and impenitent hearts, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So right again, here we see the righteousness of God. And then listen to verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So Paul's simply saying here that God knows how much light we each have. And many of us have far more light than others, especially here in America, where there's a church on every street corner, Bibles in the department stores, and even the dollar and dime stores. So it's not so much that you and me sought after it. It's here by the providence of God. You can't turn anywhere without seeing a cross or a symbol or a sign that Jesus died for our sins. So the truth is, bottom line, folks, Americans have so much more light than so many others around the world. So God's going to hold you and me accountable to a much higher standard than a person in Africa who's never heard the name Jesus. Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says, "But he that knew not," that's the pagan, "and did commit things worthy of stripes," that means he rejected the light that he was given as he looked up into that starry sky, "shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomever much is given of him," that's you and me, folks, it's got a church on every street corner and Bibles in every department store, "of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." So we've got to understand that as Americans, we've been given a lot more light than many people around the world. And very honestly, it's going to be bad enough for the pagan in the deepest part of Africa who rejected the light he was given, let alone for you and me, with all of our light that we have all around us, who reject the name of Jesus. Remember, this is someone who refuses to live up to the light they've been given. Okay? Think about Americans. They can go to a church and sit in an air-conditioned auditorium, listen to incredible production quality worship music, hold a Bible in their hands that has it all between two covers, listen to a passionate sermon by a preacher who's preaching his heart out, begging people to be saved, and then they say no. Folks, if I had to go to hell, I'd much rather go to hell as a pagan who rejected the light and never heard the name of Jesus than going to hell after someone here in America who has all of these opportunities and listen to a message like the one I'm giving you right now and still reject it. So please, please, please get a hold of this next point. The burning question isn't, what's God going to do with that heathen who's never heard the name of Jesus? The true question, the burning question is, what's God going to do with you who's not only heard the gospel of Jesus, but can go pick up a dollar Bible over at Dollar Tree, literally, folks, there's stacks of them there, and read the Gospel of John. You know, the message that Jesus died in agony and blood on the cross for you and me and our salvation is mind-blowing. Yet there are some people that are listening to this right now. There are some people that are going to hear this. A loved one's going to send it to them, and they're going to say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what Jesus said to the soul winners. He said, when you go out soul winning, knock on a door. And when you knock on that door, if the people won't hear you, turn around, shake the dust off your shoes, and move on. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. That's right, folks. God tells us to simply leave. And as we leave, shake the dust off our shoes. And that's because God says, there's coming a judgment where that scoffer is going to stand before me and say, but God, have mercy on me, please. I didn't have a chance. And God's going to say, officer, bring the evidence into the courtroom. And I'm going to tell you, that evidence is going to be a little dustpan full of dust that come off my shoes. And so if you're listening to this message right now and you're rejecting it, and you're standing before him and you see that dustpan and you say to the Lord, what is that dust? And God's going to say, that dust come from broken shoes. Remember when you listened to that SDG message back in early 2020 and you rejected it? That's the dust from the shoes that Ken wore when he shared that gospel message with you and you got upset and you rejected it. So please don't ever say you didn't have a chance, folks. The Bible says, unto whom soever much is given of him shall much be required. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Remember, folks, Jesus said concerning the city of Capernaum, you could call that his home city, his headquarters city, it would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment than for that city he preached and taught, and yet they turned their back on him and never received him. It's right out of the Bible, folks. So everyone's given some measure of light. And when that light's refused, darkness increases. But when that light's obeyed or responded to, the light increases, just like a plant shooting up through the undergrowth. And all men, all women, all children of the age of accountability or older are going to be judged according to the light they've been given. And that's the revelation, refusal, reception, and reckoning factors, respectively. So what I'm telling you is God is righteous and God is just. And just like Paul, I'm going to say I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And folks, I'm promising you on the authority of the word of God, if you believe on Jesus today, he will save you because he saved me. And folks, if he could save me, and if you knew about my past and how greedy I was, how self-centered I was, how much I was focused on making $1 million and then some, he can save you. So if that's something that's burning in you right now, just say this prayer. And folks, it's not the prayer that saves you. It's Jesus who saves you. Just say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you. I'm opening my heart right now. I'm lifting my hands up and saying, forsaking all, I trust him. I receive you by the faith of my Lord and Savior. And now, Lord, I'm going to make it public. I'm going to go out there right now and share it with people. Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. Help me not to be ashamed of you, Lord Jesus. And in your name I pray, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, the Lord's moving in your heart right now, and you need to continue to respond to that light. And just remember, a prayer didn't save you. Jesus did. Folks, I love you all. So go out this week acting upon the light you've been given. And I'll tell you, provided the Lord's willing, and we're still here next week, I'll be back with another message from his word, the Holy Bible. I love you all. Let's lift our hands up. With mercy me, all of creation.
Separated. Let his glory.